Well, good morning, the few of us that are here. Eric. I've got reverb. Hey, Eric. Hey, Kendra.
Yes.
Am I reverberating?
Just a little, but not any more than usual.
Yeah, that's my end. Maybe that's better. No, not really. Let me mess around. Testing. You know what, Ken? I'm going to leave reading and log on again. This is very, very annoying.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's better. No better. Maybe I'll try calling in. Actually, now it seems to be better. Do I sound okay, Kendra?
Yeah, you sound fine on this end.
Okay, great. It's better now on my end. Eric, are you on the line? And if so, can you speak?
I'm here.
Hey, I had a question after our meeting with Don Cook yesterday. And by the way, I thought it went really well. He knew that we were headed in that direction. He's already been making plans to put out an advertisement for a public health director. But the question that came up in my mind after the meeting, what happens if you, for some reason, lose your public health director? Can we just appoint, I mean, somebody has to fill that role, correct? And can we just appoint anybody to fill that role, or are there minimum requirements? And it was kind of a question that Don Cook had over there for himself, that how would they handle that?
There are requirements. There are waivers available through CDPHE, which we have availed ourselves to. It depends, I guess, what you mean by lose our public health director. There should be contingency planning in case that should occur, especially in a crisis or emergency situation. So I guess it depends on what's happening. We would want to follow our normal process as much as possible, but that may not be possible. Now we have a public health director substitute on contract. Is his name Weber?
Yeah, you're right. So, and he has the qualifications necessary to function in that role, I assume.
I'm assuming so, since we contracted with him.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Well, we were killing time. I do see that Beth has joined us. Is Doug?
Here. Doug isn't available today. He told us he has like a River District meeting or something like that.
They're interviewing for a new director.
Yeah, I had a dog poop emergency in my living room.
Well, great. You had your own little public health crisis right there at home.
Well, I had to avoid it becoming a public health crisis, Tim.
That's good. You took the necessary mitigations to...
I did. I shut it down.
All right. We have a historic preservation board request. Do we have anybody from that board joining us today? It doesn't appear so.
So it'll actually just be me representing the board. I've been managing them. And so pretty much what we have is just two resolutions that they are proposing to you guys. One of them is for a new historic designation for a location in Hayden. It is the Hayden Yampa Valley Bank Building. So in the attachments, I have that resolution as well as the application that they filled out for the historic designation. We've met recently and the Historic Preservation Board has looked at the application and they've approved it to bring to you guys. So besides that resolution, we have one other that's a modification to an existing historic designation location. It is Ranch District Coffin Place. And the background with this is that the owner had contacted us and let us know that the main ranch building on their location has asbestos and that she had to get it removed quickly. So that went through the process of the Historic Designation Board talking with her and confirming that she did have asbestos and that they're okay with the removal. So the resolution is just for a modification to that designation.
Deanna or Kendra, do you have resolution numbers ready or identified?
Yes, it would be resolution numbers 2020-036 and 37.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve and authorize your signature on resolution 2020-036, a resolution designating the Yampa Valley Bank Building, the Hayden Yampa Valley Bank Building, to the Rout County Register of Historic Properties.
Second, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Chairman, I move to approve and authorize your signature on resolution 2020-037, a resolution amending the designation of the Green Ranch District Coffin Place on the Rout County Register of Historic Places.
Second, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, Deanna.
Thank you.
I believe that was really our only actual item other than COVID-19 for the day. But any kind of luck, we'll have a reasonably short meeting.
I hope it doesn't take luck. If we have to talk for the next 2.5 hours about anything, I don't know what we're doing.
So I'll lead off with an update, and Mark, please jump in and cover anything I missed. But we had a pretty short and an amicable meeting, I would say, with Don Cook yesterday in Moffat County about our public health arrangement. And once again, he, as he had intimated to me in our previous telephone call, he knew this was coming. And they've already started taking steps towards advertising and trying to get hire their own public health director. And so where we left, and again, Don was great. I mean, this is a good man that works over there, and totally understanding of the situation and recognized that it just wasn't sustainable. And, you know, we also talked in terms of we were certainly prepared to cooperate and collaborate in any areas that we can. And certainly we can take a look at all of our contracts and explore those opportunities. But the bottom line was I told him that I was going to recommend to you, Beth, and to Doug, that we go ahead and invoke the 60-day termination clause. And Don talked in terms of maybe delaying that by a few days so that the actual termination would take place at the end of August. Mark, did I get most of that right?
Absolutely, Tim, and I absolutely echo your comments. Don was extremely gracious and very cooperative and understood completely. And it was good to hear that kind of feedback that, hey, we're going to work together on a lot of different things coming up in the future. We get it. We understand this. And we know the rationale behind it. So, yeah, I absolutely echo your comments, Tim.
And then the one request that Don made was that our accounting department, at their earliest opportunity, get out the billing through the end of June, so that they could settle their books for the fiscal year that coincides with CDPHE. So Eric, did you get all that? Were you listening?
Yes.
And Beth, do you concur that that's the direction that we want to take?
Yeah, I'm good with that. And I think it makes sense. My question would be, this isn't totally our concern, but just making sure that Don is checking in with the rest of his board. I would hate to head in this direction and get some pushback from the other commissioners.
Mark, refresh my memory. I thought he said that either today or Monday he had already scheduled a discussion item with his fellow commissioners on this subject.
That's my understanding, Tim, as early next week. And I also understood that their advertisement for the position was already pre-prepared. So that was going to hit the street almost immediately.
So yeah, I mean, Don certainly asserted that he was going to be communicating with his fellow commissioners. He also made a kind of a vague reference to the fairgrounds and the rodeo. And my recollection of what Don said was that, wow, my fair board is driving me absolutely crazy. They want me to, they want us to approve the PRCA rodeo, but that it sounded like that Don at least was resisting that. I don't know specifically, you know, we could ask Carrie what that situation is for her. But it did at least sound like they haven't actually gone there yet.
Well, I think I've said this before, but beyond just the challenges on Carrie's time and all of those kinds of things, I see this arrangement as a real management challenge. And I don't know if Mark would have any comments on that. But having a staff member who is a Route County employee who reports to Route County, but then who also has to answer to the Moffitt County commissioners in some way, I think it is ripe for some kind of disaster when there maybe is disagreement with commissioners or challenges with staff or whatever else it is. And so I don't know why we didn't realize that it was so much that piece could potentially be a huge problem before. I'm sure Eric is yelling, "I told you so," behind his muted microphone, but I don't know. It just occurs to me that that's a disaster waiting to happen from a management standpoint.
Eric is far too much class to ever see. you know what? I think it's also an example of oftentimes when we have these opportunities to collaborate and cooperate and have partnerships, that we think that that is a good in of itself, which actually ignores, no, that's not, you don't collaborate and cooperate using that as a goal. That is a strategy to get you to some place that you need. Hindsight being 2020, clearly it was a bad idea.
Well, I would say that I
participating in that bad idea.
I think it's really clear to me that there will be benefits to public health cooperating and collaborating in the future, given how interconnected we are with Moffitt County in terms of our population. However, I think that probably could be better accomplished by having two directors who collaborate with one another, rather than trying to have one director who's trying to serve the needs of two very different communities.
So I suppose that, Beth, are you comfortable with having the arrangement, having us give notice to terminate our agreement at the end of August, which is just a little
bit? I'm really comfortable with it. I mean, I think you know that. I'm hesitating a little only because Doug's not here and he's the one who would push back on this, I think. Although obviously there are two of us and so we can make a decision, I just want to be really mindful of not feeling like we made a decision without Doug's input.
Someone speaking up there. I'm sorry, I wasn't watching my screen.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so looking at the calendar, we would have until Tuesday of next week to actually send that 60-day termination notice out. So I agree with you. I think it would be fair to have Doug be a part of this conversation. And that could happen tomorrow or Monday.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And then also just making sure that none of the Moffitt County commissioners are going to be caught off guard by them, that they have that information from Don before that would go out, and that they are supportive and in agreement that that's the right direction to go.
So maybe we should have something put on the agenda for Monday for a discussion item and an action item, I suppose. I'm not sure how I don't think we have to pass a motion to do that. It would just be simply giving direction to legal to issue the termination.
I have no idea, we can ask Eric. But yes, and then I think making sure that, you know, Doug isn't caught off guard by that, and then confirming with Don that no one on his team is going to be caught off guard by that either. Eric, what do you believe needs to happen?
I've still written notice. The contract requires it to be by mail. So I think once Doug gives his nod, or if he doesn't, the two of you give your nod, then I would put in a courtesy call to Becky Tyree and immediately follow that with the mailing.
And is Monday soon enough for that, Eric?
So I had proposed that this already occur, so I'm assuming by this discussion that it did not occur.
Then what did not occur?
The termination notice.
You have not sent out termination notice.
I did not, but it doesn't require me to do it. I'm just suggesting, I had suggested several weeks ago when this first became an issue that we get ahead of it. And because it was 60 days, and well, again, what I'm hearing is that didn't happen. I'll check with Carrie to make sure, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, Eric. I think, you could make the case that we could have or should have moved more quickly than we did, but the fact of the matter is that the actual conversation did not take place until yesterday in any kind of formal meeting setting. Don and I had an informal telephone conversation to set up the meeting so that we could discuss it with relevant parties, but the actual conversation did not take place until yesterday, moving forward is what we're talking about doing starting today. So, having said that, given the 60-day timeline that's necessary, if we give this direction to you officially on Monday, is that soon enough for you to contact Ms. Tyree and get that notice out so that we're terminated by the end of August?
Yes, it's fine. And I'm sorry to follow that up with a snide comment. Two weeks ago would have been soon enough too. There was no magic required, just a written notice.
Okay. You're entitled to that, Eric.
Yeah, whatever. You can be snide. It just depends if you want your job or not. No, I'm just joking, Eric. That was a joke.
Was that character, that old cartoon character, was his name Snidely or Snively? I don't remember now.
Yeah, what cartoon was that? You're actually going back into
Snidely Whiplash.
Yes.
Sounds like Eric's new nickname.
Who said that?
Commissioner Melton was suggesting that you be referred to as Snidely.
Snidely Whiplash. No,
I was wondering who gave us the name.
Well, no, Eric, this is Mark. You don't want to be Snidely Whiplash because following his name, it always said in parentheses, rotten to the core.
Oh, I love that even more.
We're making a lot of important decisions without Doug. I think we should let him weigh in on Eric's nickname as well.
And then the other item was, Beth, for your information, we had a successful conclusion to the CARES allocation discussion yesterday. And I think I saw an email today, Eric, that sounds like I just glanced at it, that the city is all good with your changes and we're ready to send out the signature pages to all of the entities. And complete time for everybody to make their application through the DOLA portal prior to July 7th.
So, yes, you're right. That email did come, but then it was followed by a second. We're going to make one more minor amendment just addressing the termination date of the agreement, 12:30. Why did they pick 12:30, by the way, instead of 12:31?
Who knows? Maybe they forgot how many days there were in December.
Maybe. But anyway, I don't think
it's the 31st on a weekend or something this year.
It's a Thursday.
Well, then I don't know.
So it makes sense to extend the agreement beyond even that end date, assuming there's going to be claims made past that, but for expenses incurred during the relevant time period.
So
anyway, long and short is we're going to clean it up today, and either myself or Jennifer Bach will send it out to the entire group, hopefully.
That's an interesting point, Eric. Is it your interpretation that the expenses merely need to be incurred in the calendar year 2020 and not necessarily paid for in the calendar year?
Ooh, I don't interpret it that way, but others apparently do.
I suppose.
I'm going to hesitate on that. I'd have to talk to Sternet again about that. That's been an issue in question before, and I don't remember where we landed, frankly.
Well, that doesn't affect the agreement and getting it entered through the portal for the individual entities.
So I have a question. No. We had identified that any unused money would revert to the county, and is that still the case?
So, yeah, go ahead, Eric. Answer.
No, not okay. Not necessarily. There was pushback on that concept, and so we tried to keep it simple by stating that no later than September 15, the group will get back together, examine its allocations and its current postures. If it appears, you know, and then and we can amend the agreement at that point. So that's what our current agreement states. The idea is that if there's any money in the pot, instead of setting up a reserve fund, we just amend the agreement and handle it that way. When we talked about that yesterday, Gary Suter asked that question too. So obviously they're not interested in it automatically flowing back to the county.
I mean, the reality of it is that I don't think Steamboat's going to have any trouble spending their money. I don't think we're going to have any trouble spending our money. I think there's an open question with Hayden and Yampa, but I think it's going to be a relatively insignificant amount of money that might end up in that situation.
Well, and honestly, to your point earlier, all they need to do is set up a business relief fund and give it out to the businesses in their community. I mean, if they can't do that, then...
Well, then we'll sit down and reallocate. So I think.
Right. Well, and even if the reallocation ends up being that the county sets up a countywide business, you know, grant fund or something like that, whatever, we'll figure it out. But yeah, okay. That's the only question I had.
And I think that's all I had on my list, other than just wanted to state how happy I am that our neighbors to the south are so progressive and really out in front of things, and we should use Eagle County as a model for all of our actions, according to the governor.
That made me so irritated, Tim. Like,
my advice to you is to get over it.
I know, but still. But I have to say, the governor posted it, and then Dylan shared it. And then someone in our community tagged me like, hey, isn't this a great idea? I'm like, yeah, so great. We already had it. Like, it gets my goat. Like, I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but it just irritates me to like, hey, look at this unique thing that only Eagle County is doing, when in fact, actually, most of the resort communities are doing it. I've talked to all of them.
Well, Eagle County's been leading the way the whole time. And now they're leading the way in new outbreaks and increased disease prevalence as well. So maybe the government...
Well, you'd be interested to know that on the CCAT call yesterday, Commissioner Matt Scheer was asking a lot of questions about mask requirements and how communities are handling those.
But by the way, did that take place at 2:30? Because I actually jumped on at 2:30 and there was nobody there.
Huh. Yeah. We were there. I mean, I was like 3 minutes late, but.
I mean, and I hung out for a minute or so and then I said, well, it must not be happening. So.
It was a pretty small group and a bunch of people had to leave at 3:00. So it was pretty small. But Cindy sent out on my behalf an email today about the next few weeks, because we do have guests scheduled to come to those meetings, and so I want to make sure people are going to be able to be there. So just take a look at that email.
Yeah, that I haven't been joining those calls because it's been getting overlapped with my allocation calls, but that's over with now. So I'll be getting back on those calls.
Yeah, so we have, there was a request from Winter Park and from Grand County for us to get involved in some conversations about recommendations to the state about ski season, because all the ski industry groups are advocating for themselves, of course, about what they want, but that there was a feeling that counties should bring a public health perspective to that conversation and make some recommendations to the state. And so, all of the counties that have ski areas, except for wherever Wolf Creek is, are represented in CCAT. So we're going to invite the director of CAST, which is the Colorado Association of Ski Towns, which some counties are members of, but not all of them. She's going to come and talk with us, and we're going to just brainstorm a little bit about what kind of communication we might want to give about our thoughts and questions and concerns heading into ski season. So that'll be 1 week. And then Betsy Markey's gonna join us and we're gonna talk about economic recovery in tourism places that have a lot of tourism, and hopefully push Betsy to help identify some resources that support recovery specifically in those areas that are gonna have those long lasting impacts that we expect to see in terms of unemployment and that sort of thing. And then we're gonna have Jill join us as well at some point.
I'm curious, when you talk about skiing, if this was ski season, in fact, could the Steamboat ski area open and be in compliance with the gathering orders?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, Arapaho Basin reopened. I mean, they closed after like a week because they didn't have enough snow.
Didn't Summit County get a variance in order for them to open, or?
Well, they might have, but the governor did change the rules. They just have to work with local public health, I think, is what the rule ended up saying. Okay. It was, yeah. But I believe they could, based on what I've seen and understand.
Great. Thank you for that update, Beth. Robin? I had the opportunity here just before the meeting started to take a quick look at your card. And yes. Is this two sides of one card? Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, there are two cards. So there's one for businesses that we would drop off at businesses when environmental health does their site visits, and hopefully if we get some health educators that they would do that as well. What Scott and Mo had found when they visited businesses that they kind of wanted wanted information of like, well, if we have more questions, so that's why we kind of did that and we wanted to thank them. So that's why it says thank you. And then the other one is for customers. So the fronts look the same, but the backs are different.
So what I'm looking at, I'm just seeing two pages of your PDF. Oh, there was a second one attached to your mail. I get it. Hold on.
Robin, I'm so confused about this 36 square feet. I assume you confirmed that with Scott, but everything I've seen says 28 square feet per person. So I'm just so confused about where that number came from.
Yeah, I got that from Scott because it's six squared, right?
Yep, that's what...
Well, yes, but if you look at the state restaurant guidelines, they say 28 square feet per person.
I'll double check that with Scott, but I got that directly from Scott, so...
I mean, I understand why that makes sense, but I guess I'm just confused because everything that I've seen, I thought said
28.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll double check with him. 28 versus 36.
I mean, I don't know if it only sort of matters, but it's
confusing. It's confusing. So I'll ask. And, you know, as I mentioned in the email, you know, there's, you know, we talked about the group gatherings, informal gatherings with Dr. Harrington yesterday, and and obviously the travel. I'm just a little concerned about whether, you know, if there's a new iteration of Safer at Home, if the group gatherings change from 10 to 15 or something. I want this to be a little evergreen through the end of July because we're doing a pretty large print run. So I was...
Could it just say limit social gatherings kind of broadly? I mean, yeah, that's still what we want people to do. We want them to limit the size and we want them to limit the number.
Yeah, we could do that. And then the travel is challenging because a lot of these people that are going to the stores are from out of state.
I don't think the travel needs to be on this postcard specifically, personally. I mean, unless the only way I would maybe think about addressing it is if there's a way to say, you know, you should do these when you're at home and when you're not at home, you know, like, because that's really the issue. If people travel and they're not wearing face coverings and they're not washing their hands and they're not maintaining social distance because the rules are different wherever they are, you know, I don't know. I just have a hard time believing we're going to be even remotely successful trying to tell people not to travel out of Route County. And that's not really what we're trying to tell people to do.
Right, right. We're just trying to get people to be safer. And then if they, I mean, I was just talking to a few people that were planning to go to some of the states like Arizona, Wyoming, and North Carolina, and they've totally changed their plans now because they've become hotspots. And so.
Right. So my only thought on addressing that is if there's a way to just say, you know, one of the important things for keeping our, this is too many words, but one of the important things for keeping our community safe is that you do these things, not just when you're here, but if you travel somewhere else, you know, you reduce your risk of bringing home.
Right. Yeah, I'll play with it. There's not a lot of room, as you can see.
I know.
So, but we tried to kind of put in the things that you all talked about last week about investing in your, you know, investing in our future. And Tim, did you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, on the business card.
Yeah.
On the second page.
Yep.
The third bullet point: ensure that employees and customers wear facial coverings. I don't know. Should we say require instead of ensure? I don't know. And maybe that's just a nuance that's going to be lost on almost everybody.
I'd keep it at ensure personally. I think, you know, you can require it, but not ensure that people do it. You can put up a sign that says it's required, right?
How about require, demand, and ensure? How about that?
Well, what I really want is I saw a social media post that somebody had these posters that said, you know, no shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service.
I've heard that. I've heard that. I haven't seen that, but I've heard that.
But really, the no shoes, no service was designed to keep hippies out of stores. So. Really, we should dispense with that and just replace it with the mask. So Robin, I guess my only thought is that it could just say something like, you know, practice the five commitments of containment at home and when traveling or something like that.
Yeah, I can do that.
That works for me. Yeah, I like, I do like the my mask protects you and your mask protects me. I think that's I thought that was well done. I like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I've thought a lot about it. I've been just seeing more posts and, you know, we're still getting, you know, emails to the county info, and it's kind of this interesting, how should I say, is when we think about seatbelts and other public health things, you brought that up, Beth, was that you're protecting yourself, right, when you put the seatbelt on or you put the kid in the baby seat, and the mask is about protecting others. And, you know, how strange is it that we're fine protecting ourselves, but we're not about protecting others? So we'll work on that. And the print shop is based here in Steamboat, and they do the run in Steamboat, so we don't have to worry about shipping. So it should be done pretty quickly. So I sent the proofs to the recovery team. So I'm just trying to get any feedback from them, and I'll double check with Scott on the square footage.
Refresh my memory. How many are we printing?
Well, so we were going to do 500 for businesses and 1,000 for customers.
And then what was the distribution technique?
The distribution technique is really giving it to environmental health when they go and do their site visits.
Okay.
So on your letters, Robin, your thank you letters, I think they're great. I think this is an awesome idea, and we should definitely be showing those positive stories and and doing that. I would want to, you know, be on the lookout and maybe even, you know, ask the chamber to engage in helping submit names and pictures and whatever.
We asked Laura to do that yesterday.
Yeah, which is awesome. Just a couple suggestions. I'm wondering, on the last paragraph, you say, in an effort to show how well the community is implementing public health safety measures, you know, social media, I would love to actually change it to just say, we would love to highlight your business as a model for our community.
Oh, okay.
Would you please send us some pictures? I just think, you know, making it like, we want to promote you by showing that you're helping to support public safety.
Yep. Yep.
And then this is just such a small thing, but our signatures, like, they just look goofy because they're so
small.
Yeah,
no, that was just a...
Someone just make them a little bigger.
Yeah, no, that was... Okay. Deanna helped me with those. She actually did the first draft, and then I just added to it. So thank you to Deanna for helping with that.
Yeah, no problem. But other than that, I think it's awesome. And I love the idea of just saying, hey, you're doing such a great job that we want to tell the community about what a great job you're doing. So send us some pictures that we could share.
Yeah. We'll do that. And then I'm going to highlight it in the community newsletter that goes out to, you know, I think I've told you over 3,000 people now.
And then I emailed you yesterday to say that on the restaurant call, the request from Nick Sharp, who runs the local restaurant association and works for Rex's, he said that Rex's is going to be taking some pictures of their employees getting tested and promoting that, which I think is awesome. And I think
great.
A similar letter could, you know, and help promoting that would be great. And his request was, could we really highlight this effort around testing for our community and promote that great work? And could we do it by getting commissioners and city councilors to have pictures taken of them getting tested? And I said, I am certain that we would be happy to do that.
Well, when we do the county testing, you know, let us know when you get tested. And we'll talk to Deanna. Will you help me remember? I can ask Lauren Duke. I think it's today that Steamboat is doing it. So I'll just reach out to Lauren.
But I think in addition to, you know, photos of masks and those things, that's a really impactful visual of people,
yeah, I agree.
You know, being committed, being participatory in recovery. Yeah. And another way to definitely promote businesses that are supporting testing for their employees. And then he really wanted to have community leadership showing that they're participating as
so
well.
Is he taking pictures themselves of Rex's people and sending
that's
it to
what
us?
He seemed to indicate. You could double check with him or maybe ask Kara to reach out. But that's what it sounded like, that he and Rex were going to take pictures.
Okay. That was Nick. Okay. Yeah. I'll ask Nick.
I just mentioned when I remember in a press conference a few weeks ago, the governor, you know, got tested, had the nose swab during the middle of the press conference and was like, see how easy that was. And I thought it was really, I thought it was really impactful to just see him being tested.
So, I'll grant you that I am not thrilled about getting tested, but if that's one of the things that I need to do in the community to help encourage testing, I'd be willing to do that. So should we sign up for the Wednesday testing?
Yeah, that was my question, is how is the county, because if the county is doing testing on site, I would probably just show up for that. Or do we want to coordinate a time that someone can take some pictures that can be used, and that I just don't know what the best way to do that is. I mean, I haven't signed up for testing or done it. I also haven't left my house since March.
Yeah, Mark, tell me otherwise. As far as I know from the recovery calls that we had, is that we're not going to do separate testing at the county building, but we talked about having county employees going to the rodeo grounds, just because the amount of resources to set up the testing site is just so expensive. So just calling that number. I mean, it's essentially Michelle that answers that and now with the additional help that we have, but that's the 970-870-5577 number. I'll email Carrie Ladro as well. She's in Moffitt County today, but maybe we can get a time that all three of you can go together.
I was just going to say that would probably be the best way to do it.
Yeah, it's probably easier if somebody just tells us when to be there. I think if each of us has to call and...
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
And I would say the same thing for city council. I mean, he asked for city council and Jason said, yeah, I'll tell the city council to do it. So, maybe just coordinate either with Mike or.
I'll talk to Mike. No problem. Got it. And then I'm going to be sending you the questions for the radio interview tomorrow. That's going to be a lot shorter. Just so you know, we get updates on Friday morning about statistics. So I've asked Michelle to give them to me. So the ones that I have now that I will give to you for this interview, I'm going to highlight them in yellow. They'll probably be different in the morning, just so you know.
I don't have much of anything else. Seems like...
I don't either.
I hate to even say it out loud, but my email inbox has actually calmed down a bit, so.
Just wait, there'll be something.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure of that.
I don't know where all our mask-hating friends went, but they seem to be under a rock somewhere, not on wood.
I have an update.
Thank you, please.
We've got some new challenges. We've had some need to file a case, a DNN case this week, and that's been done and it's going through the judicial process. Needless to say, this takes a lot of staff time, legal time, and then late yesterday, I think we ended up having another case that was not on the horizon. It was sort of a surprise. A family traveling through from Florida, or a partial family, I should say. So I just want to give you a heads up, two new unexpected or quasi-unexpected DNN cases.
Yep. life, whether for better or for worse, goes on even during the pandemic.
Wow. Show me the better.
Yeah, I know, Derek. I know. It's coming. Trust me.
We'll be there eventually.
Yep. Mark, do you have anything you need to bring to us this morning?
Tim, Beth, two quick items. The first is that I touched base with Todd Carr, and Todd is going to appear tomorrow for your commissioner meeting and bring you up to speed, do a quick 10 to 15 minute update relative to not only the activity within the construction department, the building department, but also to respond to the notation that went out to the construction community and just give you some better background and some more up-to-date information on that. And I think, quite frankly, in visiting with Todd yesterday, I think the news is all good. And we just want to provide a really good, timely clarification on that. And you'll get that tomorrow. The second thing is, commissioners, Monday, I'm going to devote the time that I've got for my time slot at your commissioner meeting to talk a little bit more about, with Dan Stranad's help, a little bit more about where we are on FY21 budget and most importantly, revenues. And then in correlation with that discussion, to also provide you a recommendation relative to staffing and compensation for this current fiscal year. So based upon the information that we'll present to you and give you that budget snapshot, then I'll be prepared to give you a recommendation relative to personnel and staffing. So again, I'll try and focus on that with my report time on Monday, but I think it's a very timely update. And in actuality, without having too much of a spoiler alert, we have actually discovered and uncovered some things that I think are some positive trends that we've seen within the budget profile. So we're anxious to bring that forward to you on Monday.
That sounds great, Mark. Thank you for that. Beth, you got anything else for today? Robin, you got anything for today?
The only thing, just talking about budget, so Mark and I are working on a budget memo for you from the messages, so hopefully we'll get that to you as soon as we can.
Great.
Yeah, and we'd probably need to review that tomorrow, right? Because Monday is when our meeting is.
Yeah, we'll have it. We'll have it. Beth, we'll have it to you by, I'm sure, close of business today.
Okay. And then Mark, did we get confirmation on whether the commissioners need to stay until 5 o'clock on Monday or whether I could schedule my 4 o'clock meeting?
Right. You can schedule your 4 o'clock, Beth. You should have gotten a follow-up from Kendra. We only need you for that first 30, 40 minute time frame on Monday. And then you're not obligated on Tuesday. So just to clarify on those scheduling pieces.
Yeah, that's sort of what I thought, which is why I asked. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And by the way, Beth, I'm really pleased in your earlier remarks about having some input from the Colorado Association of Ski Towns, CAST. That's an outstanding group. I was a member of that group for about 15 years. And they're really, really a good sounding board for what's going on within the ski industry. And so I've got really nothing but positive remarks. Now, the only thing I'll say, though, is once you're no longer a member of CAST, and for instance, if you were to go to the Front Range, you're then known as a cast off. So that's
I don't know. It's interesting because there are counties that have seen benefit in being associate. I think they're associate members as counties.
Yes.
I don't know enough about what the benefit might be. It may or may not be for us.
Right. They even expanded membership. If I recall, they even had associate memberships for Park City, Utah, for Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So they even broadened that a little bit to get some more perspectives within the ski industry. But it truly is a good group. And it's good that they're very focused on the ski industry and what's going on. And that's a really good resource right now as we look to the winter season.
Steamboat is, right? Steamboat's a member, is it not?
Yes. Always has been. They're a charter member, Tim. You bet.
Yeah. What I did hear from some of the commissioners about that was that prior to CCAT, that group was really important for them on some of the work they wanted to accomplish, but that CCAT has stepped in to be able to provide some of the advocacy that they thought was really important. So just as a consideration, I think Eagle County said that. Eagle County definitely said that. I don't know. I don't remember if anybody else did.
Speaking of CCAT, is there a plan in place for replacing John Messner?
I'm not sure that a plan has been put into motion yet. My understanding was that the executive committee was going to be speaking, which I'm on the governing board, but not the executive committee, and talking about that. John's recommendation was that we normally would elect a new board in June anyway at our retreat. And so while technically I believe the executive committee would have the ability to appoint someone to fill that vacancy, I think the suggestion was, let's go forward with the regular nomination and election process because this is the time of year we would be changing leadership anyway.
That sounds good.
I have a feeling I might get roped into something. I mean, I certainly won't be the chair, but I think I may be voluntold into one of those positions that ends up moving up into the...
Yeah, I think that would be good.
I'm fine with it.
And I will tell you that it really has been gratifying to see the success that CCAT has had. When I think back to that first meeting that I attended with a group of commissioners, in Keystone, it must have been 5 or 6 years ago, when that was just an idea as a way to provide a different voice than CCI, to see how it's matured and become such an obviously influential organization at the state level is incredibly gratifying to me. So I think it's been awesome.
Yeah, I think definitely in the current political climate, that group has a very strong voice. If the makeup of the state legislature were to shift in the other direction, it'd be interesting to see if we could retain that influence or not, because it's not a very bipartisan group, despite Rich Cimino's best efforts.
Well, part of it is, and you alluded to it earlier, the resort communities really have a lot of similar interests and values, and this organization, while it's not just for resort communities, has certainly been a huge benefit to the resort communities. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, on that positive note, I suggest we adjourn for the day and get back together tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Thank you.